was a mighty nation, blessed above all of creation. It was a rare and precious pearl, conceived in faith and liberty, home of the brave, land of the free. It was the envy of the world. But this shining city on a hill has turned from the Creator's will and let evil take control. Now the reckless men who lead them want to strip away their freedom and to steal their very soul. Now it's smoke and mirrors, switching bait, criticize and confiscate, and let the guilty walk away. In this once righteous, godly nation, in the halls of education, they forbid a child to pray. They say we need to spread the wealth. They pretend to guard the health of the feeble and the poor. While the hand they hold behind their back confuses and conceals the fact that the wolf is at the door. There's an unseen hand that pulls a string and makes his little puppets dance to every song he sings as the night folds in on a rising tide. Look beyond the shadows, behold a pale horse ride. They claim to seek a new world order, nations without borders, but don't believe the lie. Even in this wealthy nation, it could come down to starvation in the twinkling of an eye. They tell us there will soon be peace, our lives will be an endless feast, but they lead us toward the dark. Sabers rattle and the armies train for battle as the beast prepares his mark. There's an unseen hand that pulls a string and makes his little puppets dance to any song he sings as the night rolls in on the rising tide. Look beyond the shadows, behold a pale horse. It's time for every righteous man to step up tall, take a stand. There is so little time. For if we fear and hesitate, soon it will be too late. We're the last hope of mankind. Time hurries on, the shadows fall, the hand is writing on the wall. But even now, there's still a chance. For called by God's name, repent of sin, seek his face. He will hear and heal the land. There's an unseen hand reaching from above, and a gentle voice that beckons to the shelter of his love. Come on home, my wayward child, cause out on the horizon there's a pale horse running wild. A fairy cub, thunder hoof beats from a pale horse running wild.
On the Republic Broadcasting Network, folks. This is Tom Lacovara Stewart. And amazingly enough, right at the point of starting this broadcast, my computer shut down and decided that I told it to do an update, which I didn't. Very strange stuff. I hate this technology stuff. I really... it's frustrating to me. The title of tonight's show, The USSA De Facto Government World War III to Distract, and the History of Subversion. You know, I have been pulled... I feel like Michael Corleone in The Godfather 3. Every time I get out, they pull me back in. And that's kind of how I feel sometimes about these situations that you know, the presidential election, to everyone who knows our show and knows our research, I would love to get behind a president who I believed would really change things. Of course, as I am working to educate and wake people up as to certain things that have happened in history, it would probably be far more convenient for me to do so if we had a little bit more time. Now, I don't think that Hillary Clinton is going to give us any time at all to be able to do so. The level of depravity and criminality of this woman and her husband and the Clinton Foundation, it's mind-blowing levels of depravity. You know, it makes me really think, do we have a chance at really turning this around? We are so far gone. Most Americans do not realize, they cannot understand that we are a communist entity now. The United States is a communitarian, commu-fascist regime. That does not make me happy. I am not anti-government, by the way. I am pro-republic form of government. Self-governing, limited. Enough to protect the rights of the people, but not to replace them with privileges. You see, our research over the years has revealed certain facts, and these facts are that certain pieces of legislation that were purported to be passed or not, and the reasons that they were forced or to subvert and to alter our form of government to democracy, in other words, to socialism, in other words, to communism. Part of the problem with that is that voting in the presidential election or contracting with the federal union, what it does is it causes you to be in a state of rebellion to your constitutional true nation, which is your state. Part of the indoctrination that we have gone through over these years, part of the indoctrination will call the United States a country. It is not a country. It is a de facto, which means it is in fact governing, but de jure is by right, by lawful right, rightfully, complying with the law in all respects, valid in the law, for instance, constitutional, in conformity de facto means in fact, but not lawful in nature, it is, it just truly is not. You know, one of the crucial points is that the 14th Amendment naturalizes all Americans to be citizens and nationals of the United States at birth. Under the operations of law, it negates all state nationalities de jure by trickery. It usurps the political sovereignty of all the republics. The nations or countries of America, the independent nation states, as secured by the original constitutional premises, are ultimately destroyed. It has stolen, robbed, usurped, thiefed the political allegiance of people and assign it to a de facto federal union and installs them into a political democracy versus the republic form. So I have been struggling. It is a constant struggle for me. When people come to me and they talk to me about Trump or Clinton or this or that, I have to say, Trump's campaign did reach out to us, and I think that he wants this information. That is, in the history of presidents, a big deal. And that I will say for sure. But what we are looking at when we look in Washington, D.C. is an insurgency. That is what it is. And the 14th Amendment created that. A government of fact, but not of lawful nature. President Andrew Johnson said this very clearly. He said, if this continues, it will make the law itself unlawful. And in a separate veto address, he said, it will create a de facto government. A government deemed unlawful or unjust, which receives obedience from the bulk of the community. Now, the degrees of what is called a de facto government, such a government in its highest degree assumes a character very closely resembling that of the lawful government, and this is where it becomes confusing. This is why people cannot tell the difference. When the usurping government expels the regular authorities from their customary seats and functions and establishes itself in their place, and so becomes the actual government of a country. The distinguishing characteristic of such a government is that it in war, it's in war against the government that is lawful, or the de jure government. Such a government might in some ways be denominated a government of force, being maintained by power, the barrel of a gun, against the rightful authority of an established and lawful government. And you see sheriffs from all across the nation, there are sheriffs all over the place that they understand what the Constitution was to stand for, and they understand their capacity as being elected officials, elected law enforcement officials, and they are fighting for what they know is right, many of them not having a clue that we are fighting not just corruption in Washington, D.C., but an insurgency. And people who do not understand that fact may never see freedom. That being said, de facto is what we are dealing with currently. And currently there is an election going on. And because certain individuals in the Trump campaign care enough to know about this information, I would have to say that I'm rooting for them, albeit I cannot vote. For if I voted in this election, I would be rebelling against my nation. I would be rebelling against the state of which I not only reside but belong. I would be rebelling against the state that I swore allegiance to. That is the reality. Many people who will go in and they will vote in this election, when they do so, they solidify the fact that they are communists, and not in heart, not in their hearts, because they've been tricked, they've been usurped. I do not fault them, because this plan has been so devious, so maniacal, so dishonest. That they couldn't possibly know unless they have this information. So, that being said, my goal and my job is to reach out to them and instruct them and show them the evidence, and hopefully they will come to a realization, they will come to an understanding, and they will declare their true political status at some point. Once they do, you have to understand that because a fraud has been committed against them, because they've been tricked and deceived, they have absolute right to withdraw their consent and fall back upon the Declaration of Independence, which is one of the reasons why I said that one of the things that we are going to be doing here, we are going to be signing and becoming signatories to the Declaration of Independence. We are going to put collectively, for lack of a better term, all of us at RTR Truth Media, everybody that works with us, all of our team members, we are going to draft, print out a Declaration of Independence, and we are going to take our names and we are going to take with ink, pen to paper, and we are going to sign the Declaration of Independence. Because it is our right, it is our duty. When a government has become destructive to the means by which it was created, the people have the absolute right to alter, abolish, and replace said government. Now, what do they have the right to replace it with? We were guaranteed something, weren't we not? We were guaranteed a Republican form of government, were we not? We have the right to reestablish said Republican form of government, do we not? Do we have to do so with a gun? I say not. I hope it doesn't come to that. Although there are factions out there that are beating the drums to try and lead us into World War III to distract from all of the criminal activity that we see Clinton involved with. Which leads me to clip one of tonight's broadcast, which is, who in the hell is Huma Abedin? Roll clip one.
Her history and alarming connections are mostly unknown to the American people. Who is Huma Abedin? What do we know about Hillary Clinton's number one aide and sidekick for 20 years? Hillary spoke at Huma's wedding saying, "If I had a second daughter, it would be Huma." This presidential election decides who gets to run the most powerful country on earth, so it is obviously very important to understand the facts about Huma Abedin, as she may very soon become chief of staff in the White House. I'll be simplifying an intricate web of people, organizations, and events that unraveled over many years. All of this information and more is available online for anyone who has access to Google. Anyway, here is an unbelievable story of infiltration, unfolding before our eyes, and the most important aspect of this election that you definitely won't see on CNN. There are four main players in this: Hillary Clinton, Huma Abedin, Abdullah Omar Nassif, and Saudi Arabia. Huma was born in the USA. Then when she was 2 years old, her family moved to Saudi Arabia. They lived in Saudi Arabia for 16 years. Huma returned to the USA when she was 18 to study at George Washington University. Only after 2 years in the country, she became an intern for Hillary Clinton, and soon after started working full-time. Also in 1996, Huma was working at her family business, a journal by the Institute of Muslim Minority Affairs. The Abedin's family business is owned by the Muslim World League, Saudi Arabia's global organization that promotes violent Wahhabi Islam. They even share an office at 46 Goodge Street, London. Saliha Abedin, Huma's mother, and Hassan Abedin, Huma's brother, currently work there still. Abdullah Omar Nassif is one of the founders of the Muslim World League and served as vice president of the Saudi Kingdom Shura Council. He created Huma's family business along with her father. He also funded Al-Qaeda and Osama bin Laden, as did Saudi Arabia, for many years. His organization was declared guilty of funding Al-Qaeda terrorism by the USA State Department. During the Holy Land Foundation trial in 2001, the FBI discovered that the Muslim Brotherhood gave over $12 million to Hamas, the terrorist organization. They also found the secret 18-page plan for the Muslim Brotherhood, which explains that their work in America is a kind of grand jihad in eliminating and destroying Western civilization from within. This document is available online in full. One of the many listed organizations within the Muslim Brotherhood was the Muslim Students Association, which Huma was an executive board member on for 3 years. Only 2 years after Huma left, Anwar al-Awlaki, the al-Qaeda member and preacher to 9/11 hijackers, became chaplain of the same Muslim Students Association that Huma was a part of. To make things worse, Huma's mother, Saliha Abedin, is a leading member of the Muslim Sisterhood, the women's division of the Muslim Brotherhood. All of these organizations share the same goal and tell us repeatedly in plain English. They want to destroy Western civilization and replace our laws with oppressive Sharia law like you see in Saudi Arabia. On 9/11, Abdullah Omar Nassif, Saudi Arabia, and Al-Qaeda tried to do just that. Where was Huma that day? The top funders of the 9/11 attacks created Huma's family business. Huma was officially working for the terrorists and Hillary Clinton the day those towers fell. Huma Abedin has never come forward with any information about her Saudi co-workers. Absolutely none of Huma's connections were mentioned by her during the investigations into 9/11. She has made no mention of her relationship to Abdullah Omar Nassif, the Muslim World League, Muslim Brotherhood, or her current status at her family business, which could be of unimaginable assistance to the FBI and the CIA. Huma's mother still works for the Muslim World League, yet Huma has made no effort to distance herself from her mother or her radical views. Saliha Abedin is a leading Sharia activist who has, for example, published a book called Women in Islam that claims secular man-made laws enslave women. It supports female genital mutilation, the death penalty for leaving Islam, the legal subordination of women, and the participation of women in violent jihad. Hillary Clinton has flown to meet with Saliha Abedin many times. Huma says that her mother considers her to be a big deal and is proud of her. Huma's absolute silence on all questions regarding her extremist ties says far too much. How can someone with such close links to terrorism be allowed access to our top secret information and have security clearances? Especially since it was found that Huma was accessing Hillary Clinton's emails and physical documents. The Clinton Foundation received over $25 million from Saudi Arabia, and they also funded 20% of her election campaign. Saudi Arabia's massive influence on the Clintons and Obama administration has not gone unnoticed. The damaging results of Islamist influence on the USA and Europe is worthy of another dedicated report, as this is just the tip of the corrupt iceberg. But you can no longer deny that Hillary Clinton is actively working with a global movement whose goal is to destroy Western civilization, just for the selfish benefit of money and power. Humor is the previously hidden link between the Clintons and Saudi terrorism. Dozens of other people and organizations were left out of this for length. Any rational person should have high standards of evidence for claims such as this. So here is the fastest way to prove Humer's tie to Abdullah Omar Nassif that you can look up for yourself and is sourced by their own websites. Start at the website of Humer's family business, the Institute of Muslim Minority Affairs. See that Humer's mother, Saliha, and Humer's brother, Hassan, currently manage this company. Now go to the website for the Muslim World League, owned by Saudi Arabia and Abdullah Omar Nassif. Note the address is listed by their website, 46 Goodge Street, London. Now, back to Humer's family business. If you scroll down, you see that same address, 46 Goodge Street, London. Clearly anyone can prove in seconds that Humer's family business is owned by Saudi Arabian terrorists. Their own websites make no secret of this fact. There are no more excuses for Humer's silence. She has had years of opportunities to distance herself from terrorists and radical views, but would rather simply hide. The American people demand an explanation from Humer Abedin and Hillary Clinton before the election. One simple, straightforward question needs to be answered. Did Abdullah Omar Nassif create your family business? And were you working with him in any capacity on September the 11th, 2001? Yes or no? This year marks the 15th anniversary of the day Al-Qaeda murdered 3,000 innocent citizens. Let's not forget about it so quickly. Humer's security clearances should be revoked until she or Hillary directly address this national security threat. Unfortunately, in the meantime, because of the overwhelming silence and lies, it appears to be true that a vote for Hillary Clinton will be a vote for Humer Abedin, the Muslim Brotherhood, Saudi Arabia, Al-Qaeda, and a wish for the complete destruction of the United States of America.
How interesting. Now, we're not done with Humer yet, right? All right, we're not done with Humer. All of these links we'll be sharing on Twitter, RTR Truth Media, our Twitter account, Facebook, and they'll be added to the description of the podcast that we're creating on this. I'm going to share with you very quickly clip two in a moment that will allegedly claim that Humer may have flipped. That's right. We'll be back after a few words from our sponsors, Resurrect the Republic, Truth Radio Broadcast on RBN. You work hard like your parents both did. Everything you earn by breaking your backs. We're gonna redistribute when we make our big tax. Hey, sit back down, don't be a jerk.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hi, my name is Chris. Since the 1970s, I have been actively making products available that support good health. What makes my juices flow is helping mankind get healthy. Today, I'm going to tell you about a product that will help your juices to flow. I am excited to recommend Dr. Miller's Holy Tea to you. Even if we are eating a clean diet, these impurities are entering our bodies. Holy Tea moves these poisons that are creating havoc with our health out of our bowels. It works on the whole digestive system. The five tasty herbs are combined to provide an amazing detoxifying and healing tea that will rid your body of the pollutants and soothe your digestive tract, and in some cases, help you lose weight. It is critical for our health to move all of the environmental toxins from our bodies. The Holy Tea can do that. As a hydrocolon therapist, remember, with every BM, you're supporting RBN. www.holytea.org. 800-326-2001.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and of course you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at NumanaRepublic.com. That's NumanaRepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
Republic Truth Radio Broadcast on the Republic Broadcasting Network. And I'm going to share with you now. Now, I don't know if this is true. I hope it is. But it looks like who might have flipped. Roll clip two.
Fox News alert, a bombshell development that could reshape the 2016 race now just 10 days before Election Day. The FBI is restarting their investigation into Hillary Clinton's email use While being Secretary of State, the Bureau says it will review pertinent emails discovered in its sexting probe of former Congressman Anthony Weiner, estranged husband of top Clinton aide Huma Abedin. Chief National Correspondent Ed Henry is here with the very latest and joins us.
Great to see you.
Never a dull moment, Ed.
This just keeps going. The strangest political year got stranger. An FBI source now telling me they're focused on tens of thousands of emails sent and received by Huma Abedin. Yesterday, we're hearing about thousands. Now it's tens of thousands. That raises questions, of course, about how thorough the original FBI probe was if they didn't find these emails in the first place. But people close to FBI Director James Comey tell me he felt like he was in an impossible position. His agents investigating Anthony Weiner found a trove of new emails connected, they think, to the Clinton probe. Wait until after the election, Republicans would have pounced, accused them of holding back. Move forward, Democrats are now furious it could tilt a close race. Remember, Comey said in July no charges were pending, but there was evidence of a potential violation of law. Team Clinton thought the worst had passed. Under fire again, Clinton on the trail last night challenged Comey to put up or shut up, reveal what he has, while Republican Trey Gowdy says it's pretty rich for the Democratic nominee to suddenly call for transparency.
So we don't know the facts, which is why we are calling on the FBI to release all the information that it has.
She is the author of her own destiny. Mm-hmm. Everything that's happened since then is the natural probable consequence mm-hmm. of deciding you're going to have a rogue email system.
Now, remember what we learned from WikiLeaks just a couple of days ago. As the email story first broke in March 2015, campaign chairman John Podesta wrote to Robbie Mook, "Did you have any idea of the depth of this story?" Mook, who's the campaign manager, responded, "Nope. We brought up the existence of emails and research this summer, but were told that everything was taken care of." So it suggested there she was keeping her own people in the dark. Nonetheless, Democratic lawmakers Elijah Cummings and John Conyers are saying today, in fairness to everyone involved, we are writing to the FBI to request that the FBI and Department of Justice issue a more complete accounting of the details behind this letter. I got to tell you, in terms of the timing, guys, a former FBI official told me last night, if Hillary Clinton is going to complain about this leaking out so close to the election and the timing of all this, why did she keep her server secret?
And as Ed just said, the Clinton campaign wants the FBI to release all the information it has. Chairman John Podesta called the development, quote, extraordinary, coming so close to the election. Fox News senior political correspondent Mike Emanuel just getting ready to hop on the Clinton campaign plane, about to take off for Florida. So, Mike, you can imagine the folks getting on for the front of the cabin of that plane are not exactly having smiles on their faces this morning.
Leland, not at all. They are still stunned after the breaking news yesterday, and we are here at the airport waiting for Hillary Clinton's motorcade to come here. Reporters are down on the tarmac waiting for her to roll up. We'll see if she has anything to say to reporters on her way onto the plane, but here's what we've pieced together on the investigation into these emails. We know that they were on a laptop that belonged to disgraced former New York Congressman Anthony Weiner and his wife, Huma Abedin, estranged wife, Huma Abedin. Abedin is relevant because she is Hillary Clinton's closest aide. She was on the trip yesterday when Hillary Clinton went to Iowa when the FBI announced that it was taking a closer look, that emails had surfaced that they believed were pertinent to the investigation into Hillary Clinton's private email server. The Clinton campaign's surrogates are essentially saying, well, a lot of these are probably duplicates that have already been turned over to investigators, but a close source told my producer, Jake Gibson, that there's no way they can prove that. The FBI has not gone through all the emails yet. And so out of abundance of caution, Director Comey felt obligated to come forward and say some things have changed and we need to take a closer look at them.
So long, Huma Abedin and Hillary Clinton have been inseparable. Some call her almost a second daughter, always in that private cabin all the way in front of most of the staff on the plane you're getting on right now. Yep. Do we know if Huma Abedin's going to be on the plane today or not?
We have not seen her just yet. I'm looking to see if the motorcade has pulled up. She does travel quite frequently, as you mentioned, like a second daughter to Secretary Clinton. Those who were on the plane last night said the staff seemed to be protective of Abedin, obviously alarmed by the news, trying to make sure that she was okay with this breaking development in the midst of this presidential campaign. It would not be surprising to see her on the plane. After last night's headlines, it would also not be surprising if Perhaps she took a day to get through, you know, this shock of what's going down in terms of the investigation into these emails, Leland.
Not surprising either way, but perhaps telling when you figure it out. Micah, shoot us a quick email and we'll get the word out. Thank you.
You bet. Thank you.
All right. Donald Trump has been using this investigation really to restart his campaign, to pivot, if you will, the narrative. He addressed three crowds yesterday, starting each speech talking about the email investigation, how it's proof, he's saying, that the system maybe isn't as rigged as he's complained for so long. It is.
Donald Trump plans on hammering that hard here in Colorado, again in Arizona later on today, and certainly his supporters are responding to it. Listen to this last night in Cedar Rapids, Iowa.
The FBI, after discovering new emails, is reopening their investigation into Hillary Clinton. The investigation is the biggest political scandal since Watergate, and it's everybody's hope that justice at last can be delivered.
Now, this does present an interesting contradiction for Donald Trump, though, because for the last several weeks, he has been out there on the campaign trail complaining that the entire system is rigged against him. The political system itself, the polls, the voting on November the 8th, even the judicial system rigged against him, which he had to walk back just a little bit yesterday in Manchester, New Hampshire, when all this news broke. Listen to this.
The system is rigged. But with what I've just announced previously, it might not be as rigged as I thought. Right? Right? The FBI I think they're going to right the ship, folks.
While her aides attacked the FBI decision to link newly discovered emails with her own email scandal, Hillary Clinton refused to talk directly about the issue today in public. But it was there, if you read between the lines. Fox News correspondent Jennifer Griffin is in Miami tonight. Good evening, Jennifer.
Good evening, Brett. Well, with 9 days to go, the Clinton campaign put out a video response from her campaign manager calling the FBI investigation overblown and calling on voters to push back by going to the polls.
Hillary Clinton avoided talking about the FBI director at campaign stops in Florida and tried to look forward.
No matter what is thrown at us, we need to stay focused on our goal. We need to understand that the best way to repudiate a negative, hateful, bigoted vision is by voting.
Clinton stopped at a soul food restaurant in Fort Lauderdale, leaving the response to the FBI director's letter to Congress to her surrogates.
We are calling on the soul FBI, food, look, now that you've thrown this kind of question mark letter out and already had to backtrack, you got to put all the details out for the American public to see instead of doing this kind of, you know, big question mark right before the election.
Clinton's campaign manager, Robbie Mook, was on the ropes this morning with Fox's Chris Wallace trying to answer questions about her longtime aide, Huma Abedin's email practices.
Why on earth wouldn't Hillary Clinton say to her closest personal aide, was there any stuff on that on your laptop, and was it?
Chris, again, I appreciate your question because people want answers. There's nothing about Huma Abedin in the letter that
I know
sent
that,
out.
But why wouldn't Clinton ask her?
Well, why wouldn't Clinton ask anybody? They could be emails from anybody in the world.
But I mean, there are no reports that it's anybody else except Huma Abedin.
Again, you're putting out some hypotheticals. There are other hypotheticals that have been put out there.
Huma Abedin, whose laptop appears to be at the center of the FBI investigation, for her part, has been mum. She was in Brooklyn yesterday at Clinton headquarters, not traveling with Clinton as she usually does.
You talk to her? Have you asked Huma Abedin what is on the computer and why she didn't turn it over when she said she had divided all the devices?
We don't know what computer Mr. Comey is talking about. You're assuming a lot of facts that we don't know. So I think that, as I said, she's been fully cooperative with the authorities.
And now another embarrassing email from WikiLeaks seems to suggest campaign manager Robbie Mook was lying recently when he told CNN that the campaign had no relationship with Bob Cramer, one of the Democratic operatives who appeared in that Project Veritas video talking about sending provocateurs to Trump rallies. But a new email released by WikiLeaks shows that his partner, Bob Cramer's partner, Michael Lux, talking to a Clinton insider, saying that Cramer is, quote, close to Robbie Mook, unquote. Brett?
Okay, Jen, thank you.
Well, you know, I just, I don't want to revel too much in delight. Well, maybe I do. Maybe I do. Folks, it's it never ceases to amaze me the level of depravity these people stoop to. You know, we're going to be sharing a clip with you coming up in a little while, Wolf Blitzer. You know what I think of Wolf, anybody who's listened to this show for any length of time, but it's Jason Chaffetz tears him up. But, you know, one of my more respected sources, one of my more respected people on mainstream media has been for a long time Lou Dobbs. Lou Dobbs, this guy, I don't know how he's gotten away with telling some of the truths that he's told and still keeps his show and still stays alive. I mean, he's really peeled some stuff back. You know, I kind of respect Lou. He's not a Council on Foreign Relations member, and he's generally not anything close to what you could call a mainstream media hack. I don't know what's one of those things where they have to tell you so much truth. But anyway, feel free to call in tonight, voice your opinion, ask questions. You know, go to republicbroadcasting.org. All the numbers are there in the tune-in instructions, all that stuff. Feel free to do so. And I have to say that for the past few nights, I have made a request of my audience for donations. I'm not a greedy man. Not by any stretch of the imagination. I am not remotely a greedy man. I come to you folks every night, 2 hours a night. And I try and provide for you guys information that the mainstream media is not covering and talking about at a level of which they should be talking about it. In doing so, we also extract information from the mainstream media that we do commend. However, they're not going to give you the truth into the real nature of what we're dealing with. I've gone to the Bundy Ranch. I've gone to Oregon. I've put my money where my mouth is. I've brought you solid coverage. I've investigated the federal government's operation, which I believe is Operation PatCon, that was very much alive in Burns, Oregon. Whether it's under another name or not, it is the federal government's operation, clandestine operation, to derail, destroy, and subvert the militia movement and the liberty movement by planting controlled opposition in places that trigger, instigate, terrorize, steal, incite. Now we've seen evidence that the Democratic National Committee is doing that in elections. Do you really think that it's outside of the realm of possibilities that the other executive agencies would be doing the same on a more clandestine level? But folks, for the past several nights, I've come to you and I've asked you. I told you we're doing some really big things. We have some folks that make somewhere around $275 an hour that are donating their time to rebuilding ResurrectTheRepublic.com. There's a reason for that. ResurrectTheRepublic.com has been assailed
by I don't know what. There are entire chunks of information that have been bitten out of it. And we are putting everything back together, and we're putting everything on private servers. Only we're lawfully doing so. And we need your support and your help to accomplish these goals. I will go one step further to let you know that something occurred. I don't like to talk and spread gossip and rumor and stir up drama. When we arrived in Florida, all of our microphone equipment, audio equipment, two computers, my trailer, and some other items that I can't discuss were all stolen. Now, I'm not going to get into the who, what, where, how, and all of that business. We took a real big and painful hit. And I need you guys to either call in to RBN and get on the line with Lori so that she can take your donation, or I need you to go to resurrectorepublic.com or rtrtruthmedia.com, which has the same PayPal link, which is under tomlacabara@gmail.com. You can just go to PayPal and directly and do that. But we need your support. Now, for the past couple nights I've asked, I don't like to ask. I hate it. That's the part that I hate the most but I shouldn't. Everyone likes to get paid for working, and they deserve to get paid to an extent for doing a good job. You know, but for the past couple nights I've asked, not one donation came in. Not one. And I have to tell you, I get emails all the time. I know you guys really enjoy the show. But, you know, for those of you out there paying your cable and your phone bill and everything else to be propagandized, here's an outlet of information that is a wealthy source of truth. If you want to see it continue, I'm going to require some assistance from our audience. Otherwise, there's just simply no purpose for continuing on out of my pocket after taking such losses. So I'm going to ask one last time. For those of you out there listening, go to resurrectorepublic.com, rtrtruthmedia.com, or you can go to PayPal directly, tomlacabara@gmail.com, and contribute whatever you can. I'm not greedy. I don't need a ton of money, but I do need your support. Lori Anderson, John O. Mesmer, myself, Lori Texas 101, all of us are coming together with Ken Dost, and there's many more contributors that are coming. And we're all putting into this effort. We don't ask for much. We just need the podcast covered, the website covered, the general bills covered, and we need some new equipment. I'm not trying to get rich out of this, but I'm not reaching into my pocket anymore. I've spent everything that I could from the Bundy Ranch to Oregon to here, to the point where it's hurt. I do have a caller on the line, and that is Todd in Georgia. Todd, you're on.
Hey, Thomas. How you doing, bud?
Good, brother. How are you?
I'm doing good. Have you, I guess your computer down, but the state percentage, you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I do. I was reviewing some of his material tonight, and I plan on running it tomorrow night. I wanted to review it some more in depth, so that I like to really, really be immersed in what I share so that I can discuss it deeply. But I am aware of it. I was reviewing it right up until the time that broadcast started tonight. I've had several emails from some of our listeners talking about it, so I am on it.
Right. Okay, good. I suppose you hadn't money yet. Anyways, I was going to ask you another thing. Mark Carl, you know that guy that's Clayton County?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yep.
Y'all heard any more about him? What's going on with that situation down there?
I have. You know, he called me just the other day, and I was in the middle of putting three horses out to pasture, and I told him I'd call him back, and then one thing happened to another, and I didn't get to call him back. But since you've jogged my memory, what I will do is I'll give him a call in the morning, and I'll ask him for an update. He seems like he's doing pretty good. He's made progress, that I can tell you. He's made significant progress. I'll have Lori Anderson come on and fill you in on she knows the details. But his efforts have caused some corruption to be exposed and some real movement to be made. So I'll bring the details to you with Lori. As a matter of fact, it'd probably be a good idea just to have him come on the show and tell you himself. I'll reach out to him tomorrow morning, and I'll invite him to come on and do that.
Okay, great. Yeah, I'm from Clayton County myself. I know how corrupt that place is.
Oh, yeah, I went there. I drove all the way there the night that he and that retired judge/police chief took a stand. I believe in those fellas. Those fellas are golden-hearted, true American patriots, and of the ilk of Patrick Henry, I dare say. And I would go a mile. I'd go miles and miles and miles to be there for them. And I was there that night, and I do know that their efforts from that night, it brought them some backlash. However, there has been positive gains. That I do know that, and the details I can't wait to share with you. We'll have them back on. That's important.
Okay, great. Yeah, I was called in a conference call last night on LP Port.
Yep.
And they were talking about Kenneth Doss, what he's doing, and they thinking mm-hmm. he's going the wrong way about doing what he's doing. He's actually getting himself in trouble.
Yeah.
I asked him about the 14th Amendment and all that. You know, you read on your show that was actually never really ratified.
No, it was not ratified lawfully. They will tell you that it was because it was forced by an act that was basically under martial law. They forced it, and they ignored states like my state of New Jersey. Senator John Stockton from the state of New Jersey stood on the floor in Trenton and said that the integrity of the United States Senate had been molested. When I went out to Oregon to the National Wildlife Refuge there, I had with me a copy of the 1868 House resolution to rescind the ratification before it was due, before the ratifying date. They rescinded their ratification, and along with several other states, based upon usurpation and fraud, and that jurisdiction is what empowers these federal agencies under the executive branch all over what they call the nation, but what I call the union more accurately.
Now, what do you think about his book, The Red Amendment?
I have all of the research that I have done, we've come to the same conclusion independently from one another. John Ainsworth, Bruce Ray Riggs, my research, and several others. You hear the chickens in the background. Sorry about that.
I got chickens.
Yeah. We're building a studio, and temporarily I'm outside of where we're building it, so you're going to hear the horses whinnying, and every once in a while hear the chicken. Sorry about that, but I happen to agree with the Red Amendment. I do believe that essentially what the 14th Amendment did was install a communist dictatorship of sorts, a democracy, the illusion that we have control, and you know, we see that it's been election after election that we get to pick from the officials that the Council on Foreign Relations and the United Nations conglomerates and their think tanks get to pick for us, and then we get to pick from their jerks. So I mean, that's what's going on. I happen to agree with the Red Amendment. I haven't found any fault in the Red Amendment, and that is why everyone at RTR Truth Media here, Lori Anderson, myself, John O'Mesmer, we've all endorsed the Red Amendment as being accurate and factual.
Right, okay. Well, I asked him also about Anna Von Ritz, the judge in Alaska.
Yes, I'm familiar with them. They're trying to bring back the common law grand jury movement. I happen to, well, you know what? I'll comment, hang on the line. We're going to go into our second hour, and I'll be right back, and I'll comment on that too, and we can have a little talk about that. We'll be right back after a few words from our sponsors, Resurrect the Republic, Truth Radio broadcast on RBN.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.